are tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's July 2nd, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. The big news yesterday was dominated by Tesla's delivery reports, and it is not looking good for them or, frankly, a lot of other people. So let's get right into that. Tesla confirmed 384,000 deliveries right on Wall Street expectations. Tesla has released its Q2 2025 production and delivery results this morning, confirming it delivered 384,122 electric vehicles during the second quarter. In Q2 of 2024, just 1 year ago, Tesla delivered more than 444,000 vehicles globally. In Q1, Tesla's excuse was that Model Y changeover had limited production and consequently deliveries, even though this could have been disproven by the fact that Tesla overproduced cars by about 30,000 units in Q1. Regardless, Tesla doesn't have this excuse in Q2, and production of the new Model Y is ramped up at all factories globally, and the automaker has started to accumulate inventory there as well. We can now see that in the production numbers coming in at 410,000 units, way up from the 362,000 units in Q1. However, Tesla is again significantly adding to inventory, with production coming in at about 25,000 units over deliveries. Tesla has also confirmed having deployed 9.6 gigawatt hours of energy storage, down from 10.4 last quarter and in line with deployment during the same period last year. It's not good news for Nissan either. Nissan is in crisis mode as job cuts begin and suppliers are caught in the crosshairs. Is Nissan raising the red flag? Writes Peter Johnson. I think he probably means white flag. Nissan is cutting about 15% of its workforce and is now asking suppliers for more time to make payments. In other bad news over at Stellantis, Dodge's first EV ever, the Dodge Charger Daytona that makes a fake engine exhaust noise, is being recalled, every single one of them, for not making the correct fake engine exhaust noises. Guys, I can't make fun of this enough. This thing is so stupid. And it's not even stupid in the right way. Over at Mopar Insider, they're reporting that Stellantis is recalling all 8,390 examples of its 2024 and 25 Dodge Charger Daytona EVs because of an exterior amplifier that is missing critical software enabling the amp to emit exterior sounds, including the federally mandated pedestrian warning sounds designed to keep pedestrians safe. What's more, the recall suspect period reportedly begins on 30 April last year when the first Charger Daytona was produced and ends March 18th of this year when the last one was produced. There's a quick recall chronology here. You can check that out in the show notes over at electrek.co. But man, this is so ridiculous. There has never been someone who got in an EV and said, man, I really wish this thing sounded like a fake V8 with a supercharger. And at the same time, there's never been anyone in a supercharged V8 or a Hemi V8 who sat there and said, man, I wish this thing was smoother, you know, like a little smoother, a little more quiet. So, I have no idea who Dodge was looking at when they were thinking about this Fretsonic chambered exhaust. This is just absolutely ridiculous. 126 decibels of pain, somewhere between, according to Yale University, a loud rock concert and a passenger takeoff, loud enough to do permanent hearing damage. And just the stupidest thing I have ever seen. If I was the CEO of Stellantis and somebody brought me the Fretsonic chambered exhaust, I would fire them immediately. Yeah, terrible idea. Absolutely 0 points for creativity on that one. But it's not all bad news. You can hear me laughing and giggling. Obviously, I'm having a good time. That is because of this. The forgotten 1970s GE electric lawn tractor you've never heard of. I had never heard of it. Micah Toll found this. Absolutely wonderful article, in depth, goes way into detail on a whole lineup of 1960s and 70s electric farm tractors. They are just so absolutely cool. If you dig a little deeper into the strange niches of off-road EV history, you will stumble across something pretty cool known as the GE Electrek, an all-electric riding lawn tractor built in the 1970s. that was way ahead of its time. In the age of bell bottoms and disco balls, GE built a fully electric zero emission lawn tractor that could mow your grass, blow your snow, and quietly haul gear around your property, all without a single drop of gasoline. And the best part, many of them are still running today thanks to their simple engineering, robust components, and a surprisingly devoted fan base of backyard EV enthusiasts. Now, definitely go and check out this article from Micah. It is really, really cool, well written, has a bunch of links and resources. But the most fun one here was this video, electrifying grass cutting. This was by one of the enthusiasts here, 36 volt garden, and he talks about how he has restored this. He does a full walk around, he shows it in operation. It's absolutely cool. He's got 200 subscribers. He should have 200,000. I know, I've already subscribed to it this morning. This is a ton of fun. You can go through the whole video here when they do the E12M model. And what's more, one thing I discovered not only during this video, but during Micah's article, GE wasn't alone in this. Through the Sears catalog in the 1960s and 70s, you could actually order an American-made electric farm tractor just like this, or lawn tractor, from John Deere, from Cub Cadet, from a couple others. It was really, really neat technology. Not quite sure why it went away, especially with the fuel crisis, or maybe it was the 72 and 73 fuel crisis that kicked it off in the first place. And then we had a couple more negotiations with the Shah of Iran or whatever, and this no longer seemed viable. But really, really cool tech, great walk around style video. So definitely go and check that out. In other yellow construction type news, Komatsu has scored a $440 million deal for mining equipment. A lot of it, not 100% of it, but a lot of it electric, for use at their Reko Diq copper gold mine in Pakistan. The new electric drive units featured in the 409-ton Komatsu PC4000, that's the image you saw in the previous slide, and the Komatsu-owned P&H grid-connected electric rope shovel above, are designed to reduce job site emissions by up to 95% compared to similar diesel equipment. And when paired with the Komatsu trolley truck assist system, the company says its new hydraulic excavator can offer a 50% savings in the total cost of ownership compared to similar conventional Tier 4 diesel drive equipment. And that 50% number is not just a prediction put together by analysts. It is backed by real-world data. Komatsu says customers using the PC4011E in pilot programs have already realized a 47% savings in operational costs. With billions of dollars on the line and pressure to reduce carbon emissions coming from all sides, it should come as no surprise that the race is on to bring practical, electric, and autonomous heavy mining equipment to market. At CES 2024, electric equipment from Hyundai, Bobcat, Volvo CE, Caterpillar, and others garnered lots of attention with their innovative concepts, and analysts like ID Tech X estimate that a single 150-ton haul truck can use over $850,000 worth of fuel in a single year. Meanwhile, big electric locomotives like the Fortescue Infinity Train can, in certain use cases with high amounts of regen braking, operate without any significant cost to recharge. At that point, the reduced maintenance and downtime of BEVs compared to diesel vehicles becomes icing on the TCO cake. Lots of great stuff happening in the heavy equipment space. You know, we're going to cover all of it over at electric.co. And finally, we like to end these talking about the grid, talking about sustainability. Today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about politics. Senate has voted to send 2 million U.S. jobs to China, increase the deficit, and increase consumer energy costs. Senate Republicans passed their version of the Republican tax bill previously passed by the House. The bill retains most of the bad parts of the House bill and still kills a slew of tax credits to help working families become more energy efficient, improve American air quality, and boost American manufacturing. Instead, channeling that money to wealthy elites, increasing the deficit by trillions of dollars along the way. Republicans in the House narrowly passed their version of the bill in May, which then went to the Senate to be modified. The Senate kept the job-killing language of the House bill, eliminating consumer and business tax credits that helped spur investment in U.S. manufacturing, specifically the 30D and 25E credits for new and used clean vehicles, the commercial clean vehicle credit, the EV charger credit, and funding to reduce pollution from heavy-duty vehicles. Many of these credits have domestic sourcing provisions, which encouraged companies to establish U.S. manufacturing facilities. It's estimated that the elimination of these credits will kill 2 million jobs by nipping a nascent U.S. EV manufacturing boom in the bud before it gets started. Many of the jobs lost will be in states whose senators voted for the bill, like Tennessee and South Carolina, which will lose between 140K and 135,000 jobs, respectively. All four senators from those states, the stupid cow Marsha Blackburn, the ridiculously incompetent Bill Hagerty, the deeply closeted Lindsey Graham, and the totally useless and evil Tim Scott, voted to put their constituents out on the street. That's all we've got for today, July 2nd. I hope you agree with everything I said. And if you didn't, don't let me know in the comments, because I don't care. Have a great time. Like and subscribe, and we will see you again tomorrow.